Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christy Cruise, only on MSL Radio.
Hello, welcome to you guys to another episode of Cruise Control with your host Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to our people.
Hey people, how you guys doing today? Hope you're having a great day, because we have a great show for you, and it's going to get even better. So, let's get to it, guys.
So, guys, we got a couple topics we'll be talking about today. We're going to be talking about selfies. We all love to take them, right? But selfies have become dangerous. We're going to be talking about Drake, the famous rapper, or should I say Aubrey Graham. We're going to talk about what the stars or his old castmates of Degrassi thought about him. And we're going to be talking about, unfortunately, the passing of Yogi Berra, the great Yankees catcher. So, we're going to start off with selfies. Dun, dun, dun.
The new evil threat is among us.
That's right. It's taking all of us out. The evil threat of the selfie. So, people are apparently risking their lives to get more likes on Instagram or Facebook or whatnot just to take a selfie. I don't understand. But now it is considered a deadly activity. Bum, bum, bum. Thank you for the sound effects.
Coming to theaters near you.
I read an article, though, that more people have died this year from taking selfies than from being attacked by sharks. So, I mean, that's just a crazy stat to look at. Because first off, you would think, how can you die from taking a selfie? Like, first off, there shouldn't even be, like, any reported death by selfie. And yet, you have selfies rank higher than being attacked by sharks, which that stat is just boggling to me. I don't understand why people will try to risk their lives just to take a picture. Yeah, it might be an epic picture, but can't you just green screen it and just make it seem like you're doing whatever activity you're doing?
Right, like I have pictures of me getting attacked by sharks. They ain't real. I'm not going to get attacked by no shark. I mean, I think there should be absolutely zero death related to selfies. I think that's ridiculous. And the new trend where you have to take the most daring or inventive selfies out there to get likes or to get views or whatever, I think is ridiculous. I'd rather take a safe born selfie than take a selfie of me dangling off a building or a cliff. Are you crazy? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, well, the article that I read said that it has been reported that even though it's a minuscule number, 12 people have died while trying to take a selfie, while this year anyways, while only 8 have died from shark attacks. I mean, of course,
don't say that number should be zero.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 12 people are small if you count how many people are live in this world, but still 12 people die by selfie. I think it should be zero. And then after I continued reading, it told me how these people died, and 4 people died from falling. So obviously they were trying to take a selfie from probably somewhere high up. Some were hit or injured by trains. One man was gored to death while taking a selfie at the running of the Bulls. And one woman who died in a car accident was taking selfies before the crash. So taking selfies are pretty risky now, and people, for some reason, are just trying to take the most epic selfie just to get more likes. But you're telling me you want to put your life in jeopardy just to get a couple more likes on Facebook or Instagram? This is ridiculous to me.
I agree. There is no reason whatsoever for anyone to be injured, let alone dying. To take a selfie, that's ridiculous. I mean, if you guys disagree with us, please let us know. If you guys take crazy selfies, then tell us what you did. But we are not among those people, and we will never be among those people. Oh, why would I want to risk my life to take a picture? Doesn't seem very important to me when you think about it like that. So, I mean, I feel bad for those people that did pass away, and I'm sorry, but there's no reason that should have happened in the first place. Just to prove my point, I think that's I'm guessing selfie taking is a risque event now. It's like a sport. You never know what can happen. I'm perfectly fine taking a selfie in the comfort of my own home. Selfie. Next thing you know, I'm going to put a bunch of selfies, safe selfies up on my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, so you guys can see how fun and endangering my selfie pics are.
Exactly. And it's gotten so bad that I read that one Colorado park had to completely shut down because people were taking selfies with bears close by. So they had bears close by, and they were, like, trying to take an epic selfie with the bear. But it's like, really? Why would you even think about doing that? If you want to take it from far, okay, understandable, from far. But they were, you know, trying to get close to take a selfie with the bear. So one Colorado park had to completely close down. So the world that we live in makes pictures or selfies or, you know, being Instagram famous or Internet famous more than someone's life is worth. I don't even know what these people are thinking. Maybe they don't think there's any consequences to it or nothing's going to happen, but accidents happen and things happen all the time. And to put yourself in more jeopardy than you need to be, I just don't understand it. And for example, I saw this video of these kids on like a skyscraper just taking a video of them just standing up there looking around, and it was cool by all means. Don't get me wrong. I thought the video was insane. But then I thought to myself, how can they be so crazy to climb?
Yeah, I agree. Like, why would they climb up there to begin with? You know, I just want to end this segment by saying that how crazy, like, our society is now that taking a dangerous selfie for likes or for views or whatever you want to get out of the picture, if it's not really anything important, is ridiculous. And we need to get to the point where you're not putting your life on the line for a picture. Unless it
exactly.
means something. Yeah, unless it actually truly means something.
Well, I mean, I guess this day and age, you know, and being Internet famous is more important than someone's life. I don't know, because the way it's going, you know, the Internet is taking over the world, and people think that's the new famous nowadays. But all I got to say to our people listening right now is don't put your life in jeopardy just for a picture. You should instead go out and live life and not worrying about the Internet or taking a picture every 5 seconds. Just go out and live life. I swear if you put your phone down for a little bit and just enjoy the day, you're going to have more fun than if you keep worrying about taking pictures the whole time that of whatever you're doing. Of course, you want the memories and you want to keep the memories, but take a couple pictures, one or two pictures, and then just put your phone down and live the day. I guarantee you'll enjoy the day more like that rather than trying to take a picture for people you don't even know or maybe some select friends to see. So that's my final thoughts on that.
Okay, so moving on now, what we got next day? What is our next topic for the day?
We're going to be talking about the awesome rapper Drake and what his old castmates thought about him on Degrassi, you know, Aubrey Graham. First off, give me your opinion on Drake, Chris.
Well, personally, I like Drake's music, and I do know that he was on the Canadian teen soap opera Degrassi. But, you know, he started from the bottom when he was there, and now he's a top rapper. So I guess that song really does mirror his life.
I really wouldn't call him being an actor, getting paid, starting from the bottom. I really
yeah,
wouldn't say
would
that.
I.
But we all know
would
Drake
I.
as, we all know Drake as, you know, a famous rapper. But the world will probably never let him forget his roots on the Canadian soap opera, or not soap opera, but the Canadian show Degrassi, The Next Generation, which he played Jimmy Brooks, a basketball player, who eventually got shot and, you know, confined to a wheelchair. So, but he left the show in 2008, and what do his old castmates think about him? What do you think they're going to say? Do you think they're going to say, oh, he thinks he's too good for us? Or
obviously, they loved him. I mean, they're not going to say anything else. So I'm going to go with, and tell me if I get this right, Jay, that they absolutely loved Aubrey Graham and that he was a delight to have on the show.
Okay, well, we'll start with the comments of Chloe Rose, who played Katie Matlin on the show from 2011 to 2014. While she wasn't on the show, while he was on the show, she's gone to meet him a couple times. So when they asked her about him, what he said, what she said was, "We're all really, really close," she said, of the cast. "Everyone pretty much on set, everyone on the cast knows so many Drake lyrics. It's ridiculous. We all used to like when I first started. I didn't really like Drake, but I didn't really understand the caliber of the love. It's a fever for sure, and we would go to parties together, and everyone just stand in a circle and just rap his lyrics to each other. It was a real diehard Drake moment, because everyone was like, he's one of us, you know, Jimmy." So she also said that Drake, whose non-rapper name is Aubrey Graham, like we said earlier in this topic, he's come back to visit the set a couple times, and he still goes out to support his old crew castmates on other projects that they do. So whether they're in other films or other TV shows, he goes out to show support whenever he has a chance because, you know, they're all still really close. And all his other castmates said, yeah, that they still think of him as Aubrey instead of Drake because, you know, they know him like that. Some of the castmates said that they never really hung out with him, which is, some castmates, but the most I got to know him said they love Drake, and he's still one of their close friends, and he still takes the time out to hang out with them and even go visit when they ever have a project that's close by him. So, like you said, Chris, they loved him.
Ding, ding, ding. Of course, I got it right.
Yeah, well, like for some example, which recently happened, because I even saw the picture, some of his old castmates made the web series called We Are Disorderly, and he came to the screening for it. So even though it was a small theater and not a very big release, it was just like a pretty much just a screening for it in a small theater. He went out and showed support, took a picture with them, hung out with them. So he's still a down-to-earth and cool guy. So do you think this hurts his street cred?
Nah, bro, you got to rep Canada. Woo-woo.
That's right. No, I think this is awesome. When I was reading this story or when I heard this story, I thought it was awesome. I was like, yo, he's still a cool dude. I mean, I don't care how big you get. You gotta, if you have friends, you just got to act like you know your friends. When you start forgetting your friends because you think you got too big, that's just not a good person. So I like this story. I don't think it hurts his street cred at all, you know, because he got his roots on Degrassi, so he might as well go back and show some love for it. I mean, he probably has a place for it in his heart somewhere. But I like this story, and I think it was pretty cool of him to go back and show his old friends or old castmates some love.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was cool. I mean, I like to see that when someone who, like Drake, who has blown up and he would be considered an A-list celebrity now, he's, you know, he's at the top, I guess, you know, started from the bottom, now he's here.
That's right.
But in general, I like that he's showing love to his former castmates from Degrassi. Even though it might have been not been the highlight of his life, he still goes back and remembers the people that he grew up with, remembers his friends that he made during that time, and he supports them, which I think is cool. And regardless of how famous or popular he becomes, I'm glad to see that he still remembers the friends he had back then when he wasn't as famous as he is now.
Exactly, and like the girl that I was quoting, the girl that played Katie, Chloe Rose, she said that they sometimes joke, like you keep doing, Chris, about that he started from the bottom, now he's here. But they said Degrassi's not really the bottom, but they think it's funny. But that he's always super gracious and wonderful, and they love that he still supports it. And that he's never once said that he was never on the show and that he's a big-time rapper, so he doesn't want to talk about it. So they like that he still chooses to acknowledge his roots and that he's still, like, I don't know if he's proud of the show, but he never dismisses it like he was never on it. Even though he's a big-time rapper, he still knows that he came from there. So they, like she said, that she loved the fact that he's never once dismissed them and that they love him there. So I'm glad for Drake, and I'm glad for the cast. And, you know, this is just a cool story, and I actually really liked it. That's why I wanted to share it with our fans over here, because I actually really enjoyed reading that story because I thought it was pretty cool. Because, you know, you have some people who don't want to talk about certain things or think they're too cool for something or even try to flaws and act like they don't know what you're talking about or act like they didn't do something. So it's pretty cool that Drake stayed real and that he still acknowledges his friends.
Yeah, and I agree. And for those of you guys who want to make a comment, or who guys want to comment on what we think about it, or what you think about the whole him going back and hanging out with his former Degrassi castmates, tell us what you think. And tell us if you think that's a cool move, or if you would do something different. But now, guys,
right,
it's about time for us to head into commercial break. So, Jay, take us out.
All right, guys, like my brother said, it's about time for us to head into commercial break. So we'll be back with the last topic of our show, which is about the Yankee star that recently passed away at the age of 90. So we'll get back to it. So enjoy our commercial break. See you later.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer, and if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure, cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine, because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. 5632.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to the second half of Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to our fans.
Hey, guys, welcome back. I hope you guys are ready for the second half. We think it's going to be exciting, so we hope you think it's exciting, but let's get into it. This topic isn't as happy as the first two topics, but it's still an important topic that we would like to talk about. So, Jay, what is it?
That's right. We're going to be talking about the great and late Yogi Berra, or otherwise known as Lawrence Peter Berra, but he got the nickname Yogi. He is one of the greatest catchers in professional history, or of the Yankees catchers, and he recently passed away. I mean, it's a sad time. He was a legend to a lot of people, and a lot of people looked up to him because people used to attribute him with a lot of shortcomings because of his appearance, or he wasn't like the most well-built guy or whatnot, but he always found success and always found a way to win on the diamond. And he recently passed away, and it's really sad. I mean, he passed away on September 22nd, I believe it was. What do you have to say about? Do you have any words to say about Yogi Berra before we get into a little bit about his life?
Yeah, he passed away yesterday, early in the morning. So it's pretty recent. I mean, he got to live to the age of 90, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's, you know, he got to live older than some of us ever get to live. And he had a fulfilling life. He did well on the diamond. For sure Hall of Famer. Oh, he's already in the Hall of Fame. And he not only was he a respected baseball player, but he was also a veteran. And he was in, he went to war for our country. So he's to be respected as well, not only for his on-the-field accomplishments, but his off-the-field accomplishments as well. So I'm sad to say that a well-respected person just passed away, but he did a lot with his life, and it's going to be remembered.
Yeah, okay, and a little bit about his career, guys, in the MLB, just to tell you how great of a player he was. He played 19 seasons in Major League Baseball from 1946 to 1965. And all but the last couple of years were for the New York Yankees, a great organization. He was an 18-time All-Star, a 10-time World Series champion as a player, and Berra had a career batting average of .285. He hit 358 home runs, 1,430 RBIs. He is one of only five players to win the American League Most Valuable Player Award three times. So he's widely regarded as one of the greatest catchers in baseball history, and he was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1972. So he was a great player for the New York Yankees. He was a legend for them, one of the greatest players in Yankees history. And the Yankees are full of great players, so to even say that is an accomplishment, because the Yankees have had some of the greatest players in probably baseball history, if you count Babe Ruth and other names. So to even say that he's one of the greatest players on the Yankees organization and in baseball history is a great accomplishment. And he was just, I've never actually seen him play, but from what I've read about him, he was great fun to watch. And not only that, people loved him in person too, that he had some great quotes that people loved to quote, you know?
Yeah, I like what you said, that the Yankees were the team with the most World Series wins in MLB history, and to have a franchise that's had great player after great player from yesterday to today, and Derek Jeter, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, Jorge Posada, Roger Clemens, no matter who you want to say, they've had great players throughout that entire organization's history, and he was one of the best. What he did, both on and off the field, was legendary, and I'm glad he got to make the Hall of Fame. And like you said, you were labeling off some of his attributes on the field, which were his, some of his statistics on the field, which were crazy good, especially for his time. So this goes to show you what he meant to the sport, not only because of how he played, but of who he was while he played. Like you said, he does have some great quotes and great interviews of things he did. But everyone, he was the type of person, like, I never got to see him play. So I can't really give my opinion on this, but from the interviews I have seen and from what I have seen of him, you can tell what type of person he was just by watching little clips here and there. So imagine if you got to know him, you would get a better sense of who he was and what he meant to baseball and to the people around him.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to read you some of the quotes that he said, because people thought he was a delight in interviews and they loved to quote the things that he said. And a lot of times he would say that he didn't say everything that that people said he said, but people still love to quote it and still love to attribute it to him because he was just a great personality and people love to listen to him. So some of the things that were attributed to him or people love to say that he said, which he said, he claims that he did say some of these, it ain't over till it's over, which is one of the most well-known ones that gets always attributed to Yogi Berra. He also stated, when you come to a fork in the road, take it, which by all means, to me, doesn't make sense, but that's a great one. It's a deja vu all over again. Okay, that's awesome. Because when you have deja vu, it's already like you're having something again or a vision again, and he's saying it's deja vu all over again, so it's like a third time, which is that's a pretty epic quote. I actually really enjoy that one. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. He was talking about a restaurant that was super popular at the time, and everyone was going over there, and he just said nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded, even though it was one of the most popular restaurants of that year or those couple years. So people don't really know what he was talking about because he didn't give any more details, no any further details after he said that. I can't think and hit at the same time, which is a great quote if you've ever played baseball, because the way my approach, or I was always taught to approach the game, was don't think too much. Get something in your mind. If you want to focus on the fastball, if you want to focus on the curveball, whatever pitch you want to hit, just go and react to it. And that's the way I've always attributed going out to hit, is just reacting, because when you think too much, your reaction time is going to be slow and you're never going to be able to hit.
That's a great quote. And like you were saying, coaches nowadays and players see that all the time. You can't overthink anything when you're playing a sport. It's all instinct and it's all repetition. Everything you've practiced will help you in the game. So you don't have to think about it all too much. It's a mental game, yes, but it really comes down to your instincts and your experience of what you've done before. So you can't overthink it. And I like that quote a lot. I do. I think that was a great quote by him.
And then he says, if you can't imitate him, don't copy him, which is great. He was quoted saying that, giving advice to a young player who is trying to emulate the swing of a slugger, Frank Robinson, and he just told him, if you can't imitate him, don't copy him. And the basis of that is he's trying to say, if you can't hit as many home runs as him or pretty much have the same
Yeah, he went on to say that. Sorry to interrupt you, Jay, but he went on to say that quote because I told him that first. Before he was a great player for the Yankees, he was trying to do too much. And he was trying to imitate me, but he couldn't. He couldn't imitate my raw talent. So I explained to him, I'm like, look, if you can't imitate me, then just be your own player. You know, don't copy me. And then eventually he got that, and then he went on to tell other people my saying that I explained to him. You see how a teacher teaches his student, and then the student becomes a teacher and teaches another. And that's what happened with me and him.
That's pretty awesome. And the last quote I wanted to say, which I don't understand, but apparently people love this quote, is 90% of the game is half mental. I don't understand that quote, quite honestly. But he took credit for that quote. 90% of the game is half mental. So, I mean, I guess that's one of them. But people love
to wise quote. If
yeah,
you don't understand
but,
what he's saying, Jay, it's because you're just not ready to understand it.
you're quite right. But he was a great person from all accounts, from what everyone says about him. And he will be missed in this world. Not only was he was a player, but he was also a manager on the diamond. But he was a great person, a veteran who served our country, a great baseball player that people love to imitate or quote, or, you know, just they found him awesome. And the fact that he has left this world, you know, is a sad, sad day. But we will all honor him, and, you know, I hope he rests in peace.
Exactly. And before we, our show's about to wrap up. Before we wrap up, though, I just want to say if there's any topic you guys want to discuss with us or you guys want to give your opinion on, then let us know. Because, for example, our last topic, Yogi Berra had some great quotes. And if you want to say what your favorite one was or one that you haven't heard that you like, let us know. So that's about wraps up our show, guys. We had another great time with you, and we hope you guys had fun with us. So, Jay, wrap it up and send us out.
But we hope you enjoyed the show, guys, and that's all we got. Until tomorrow, thank you for listening to Cruise Control. See you tomorrow. Now shut up and drive.